And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 764. Coming at you on a Monday evening here to recap the week 8 NFBC Fab. As usual, talk some news and much, much more. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tid, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing great, Bubba. That's because I don't have Tanner Houck on any of my teams. Hopefully anyone listening does not have Houck on their roster, because it's been ugly so far tonight. Well, it's over finally, but not a good start to the week for anyone who has him in their lineups.
The tourniquet has been put on and tied tightly to stop whatever bleeding you can at this point in time. Because literally, like, one of the first games of the entire day on a Monday of the week, and boom goes the dynamite. So not where you want to be. Not good. And that's what we were talking for a while, looking at roster rates and all the kind of fun stuff. The Discord's having their fun with it. Not great if you're rostering him. That is a crying shame, and I raved about him last Tuesday. So not good at all. But all right, let's talk a little news here before we get into the Fab of the week. Not nearly as entertaining as the last week or two. Well, that's for darn sure. But we have some good stuff here, and we'll start with we mixed in some good with the bad, more bad than good as usual. But Blake Snell shut down once again. Ben, he was supposed to start throwing over the weekend. That did not happen. He's still dealing with shoulder issues. On Monday, we have not heard the results from this yet. I'm assuming we'll hear either closer to Dodgers game time on Monday, or we'll hear it on Tuesday. Was supposed to meet with Dr. Neil Elitrash, as one does when they're about to have a bad situation take place. So I know you can't drop until you hear the exact words, I think, of a knife is being used, but he continues to get set back. At least you have to need like the 3 to 4 week ramp up time. It's almost getting past the all-star break time at this point.
Yeah, it is. So I just looked up Snell on NFBC, and he's still fully rostered in the main event. I have him on one of my main events. And I don't want to drop him yet just because of the kind of pitcher that he can be. But definitely concerning that he's going to see Dr. Elitrash. And I just got to wait and see. I think on RotoWire, Jeff Erickson was saying that he's probably going to wait one more week and then decide. And he was heavily invested in Snell, according to what he said. But I only have Snell in a DC and then that main event. So I can only drop him in one spot, but that team's hurting because it has Imanaga. And so when you have two of your first three pitchers that already hurt, it's going to be tough. But yeah, the track record always wins, because Snell's only been above 128 innings once, and that was 180 in 2023. And now it's always something with him. He's kind of, for whatever reason, he didn't get the same dismissive view like Glass I did, at least by myself. I thought Snell was okay going into this year, whereas I didn't want anything to do with Glass. Now I think I should have put them in the same boat, and I kind of paid for it a little bit.
Yeah, I just looked at my player shares, zero Snell shares in my book, because that's where I was on that situation at his price point. Love the skill set, just never trust him to throw innings. This is an absolute shame, and I guess I agree with Jeff. Basically, just wait and hear what this result is. I don't think it's going to be a good one, as there continues to be setbacks, but you never know. They're going to try to keep as optimistic as possible, obviously, but we'll have to wait and see there. Clayton Kershaw is due back this week from the IL, so do with that what you wish. I'd love to see Ben Kasperius get more love. That seems to be a thing on hold at this point in time. A side note, when we get the Snell information, Tyler Glass now is meeting with Elitrash as well on Monday to get a checkup on his situation. He's playing catch, though. He's like slowly ramping up, so he seems like he's better off than Snell. So the ironic part would be, is if Glass now shut down next, and like, I don't know, but we'll see. Both are meeting with the good doctor.
Wasn't he their team doctor anyway? Because they have so many injuries normally.
Yes. Yeah. They spend all the money, might as well pay for the guy that everyone would see. Probably get like per diem out of it so they can make some money back on the doctor, I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
I mean,
they
maybe have a surgical
center
checkup
in left field. At it.
Yeah, he's got like four offices, spring training, LA, and then I don't know, someplace they travel a lot to.
Yeah, right outside the bullpen, there's an office, like a waiting room set up. So yeah.
You have to go through his office before you go to the bullpen.
Yeah, pretty much. You got to get checked out before you go through. Not before you sign your contract. It's afterwards. But yes, there you go. Some good news. Jordan Lawler of the Arizona Diamondbacks has been promoted, called up by the D-backs. It's one that people have been waiting for a long time. It seemed like last year was supposed to be struggled a little bit with the health, but he's been crushing it at AAA since he's been back. 6 homers, 13 steals, while hitting 336 in 37 games. Ben, what's your excitement level here? Because they're trying to temper it. I'll say that much, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
Yeah, I mean, he has the makings of a great fantasy prospect or profile. Some power, some big speed. The only thing, though, is that I think I just saw on Underdog that he's projected to play like 4 or 5 times a week at the most at multiple positions. So you're kind of hoping for an injury, I think, for him to get full playing time. It's going to be hard to nail down if you're in NFBC where you have the dual lineup setting periods. It's going to be hard to nail down when he's going to play Lawler. And if you have a strictly set it, your lineups on Monday and that's it for a full weekly setting, it's you're at most guaranteed maybe 4 games. And that's hard to do when you have other guys who could be playing full time ahead of him. I mean, it's great for dynasty and keeper for sure. It's just, and when we play our redraft NFBC leagues, it's kind of tough to, A, he's a rookie, so he's going to struggle because of that. And then, like I said, the playing time is in question. But I guess we'll just wait and see how the week goes. He's sitting tonight, ironically enough, according to what Yahoo says.
Figures.
Yeah, right. It's like the – well, at least no one added him, and then he sat. That's always fun when you add someone, and then the first day you get them, they sit. But there's one fewer game already for Lawler to play this week, and I'm sure that'll keep the prices down. But I'm sure that – well, there could be someone in every league, too, that just goes crazy because of who he is, and you'll see like upper 100s bids on him or 200 plus, but we'll see.
Yep, I agree, and that's the caveat is Underdog put it out there today that D-backs beat reporters are kind of mentioning it late last night after the news he was going to get called up. It came out like 30 minutes after I finished breakfast with Bubba, so that was cool. But, yeah, they're saying the goal is to get in 4, maybe 5 games a week. So, like, 5 games could work. The 4 games is probably not going to work. So, yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that one and see where it pans out. Adam has an interesting pointer. Could be Josh Smith 2.0 will find his way to the lineup. He could be in the regards of a utility guy that finds his way in. He's offensively much more gifted than Josh Smith if he figures it out at the big league level. So
he's like 4 Josh Smiths in one with his homer and steals potential.
Who's now apparently day-to-day as well as he was out of the lineup on Monday. We'll have to keep an eye on that one.
That too.
Couple Braves updates here. Again, we're going to keep it on the good side before we go real downhill real quick after this. Ronald Acuña Jr. set to start rehab, Ben. They won't give a timetable on how long he'll rehab, but he's starting rehab. So what are you thinking? What's your optimistic level here?
Well, maybe June. Definitely sometime in June he'll be back, but I doubt we'll see him before May's over. So it's if you spend a pick on Acuña, a discounted pick, and drafts maybe the 3rd, 4th round, 5th round, depending how big your league is. Definitely excited, but I feel like you were hoping to have him back by now. And the fact that you're probably going to have to wait 2 months is a little upsetting. And also, what will he be like? Because when he came back from his first ACL, he didn't steal or have a lot of power. Well, he did steal, but not like he had in other seasons, and the power was down for sure. So, the Braves could use him because they're playing Eli White and Alex Verdugo almost every day now, which I've taken advantage of in fantasy, but they're definitely not Acuña. And it's making them being kind of a okay target in fantasy, the Braves, but yeah, they'll probably be cautious with them. And so I would expect sometime in early June, probably we see Acuña.
Yep. I'm with you there. I'm taking a watch approach there. I have no shares. I'll see how that one plays out for those that took the chance and are waiting still. Spencer Strider, another guy people took a chance on, got a little bit of a start and went back on the IL with that hamstring injury. Spencer Strider, he threw a bullpen over the weekend. I was like, okay, he's doing well. We'll reevaluate. He could start this week. Well, on Monday, the Braves had decided that Strider will throw a simulated game on Wednesday. The goal is to get him to 70 to 75 pitches. And after that, they will decide if he needs a rehab start to stretch out more or stretch out at the big league level. And this is fine either way. It could be whatever. So it looks like next week could be the return for Spencer Strider. The weird part to me, Ben, is first off, the reporting on the hamstring thing has been just odd to me the whole time. Got a PRP injection, things that you don't usually get with hamstring injuries, just some weird stuff. But then it's like, it's a bullpen, it's a simulated game. Like, they won't even put him on a real diamond to get, like, don't you want the adrenaline going or something to see what's going on? It's just a lot of weirdness with this whole Strider thing, the way they're treating him, that doesn't make me feel great.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting since the whole – once he was injured and then there's nothing really added on what was the issue originally. And, I mean, this how do you strain your hamstring playing catch? I don't know, whatever. But I guess it looks like Tuesday the 20th is what RotoWire thinks for Strider to come back into the rotation. And they're still projecting a six-man rotation at that point as well, but I'm sure that one of Elder or Schwellenbach will be sent down probably, unless they just want to give Strider extra rest because Sale's been struggling. Holmes was a former reliever to starter. So, I mean, the only one that really affects a lot negatively is Schwellenbach probably because I think people were concerned about his workload as well. Yep. But, yeah, it's kind of more interesting to see what happens to the rest of the rotation once Strider's back, but it seems like he'll be good next week at some point. I mean, I just have him in my 12-team home league. Otherwise, like with Acuña, I kind of stayed away. Just a lot of uncertainty with those two guys.
Yep. Very, very uncertain. And one of those I wish the best, but I will not be rostering either one of them along the way. See where it goes from there. Tobias Myers sent to AAA by the Brewers, one of their best pitchers last year. Injured to start the year. He's come back for a few starts, barely goes four innings, if that, in those starts, goes to AAA. But now Woodruff apparently was supposed to return as an ankle injury. Jose Quintana has an arm injury, so we might get Tobias Myers back soon, or they go the Logan Henderson route. We're still waiting to hear all those things. But what's your thoughts on Myers? Because I have him in a lot of DCs, and he's basically on the bench right now.
He should be. Yeah, I kind of stay away from Myers. Just I didn't buy fully the good year he had last year. And then even in Fab Leagues, I had Biz, but I wasn't too competitive with my prices. So they're down to four again per roster resource. The Brewers have Peralta, Priester, Quintana, and Patrick. They just can't get rid of Priester. I think he might be there the whole year, the way it's going. RotoWire has...
We need Priester versus the good Lord on the Nationals some game. That'd be outstanding. Just going to throw that one out there.
That'd be a good beer bet for you guys, you and Ryan. Well, right now, tomorrow's Priester per RotoWire. He's confirmed in. Who's E? It's not Eduardo or Andy Rodriguez. Who's the other E Rodriguez that the Brewers have?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. It's a great call. I'm gonna look it up now because it's the other one.
Elvin. He's projected for Wednesday, not confirmed. Quintana's confirmed for Friday for them, and then Ryan's hero, Aaron Civale,
Civale, yes.
So he's projected for Sunday. So it's a mess with the Brewers. Rotation again. Yeah, I don't get why Logan Henderson isn't back up, but I feel like he should be up at some point.
Yeah, real soon. That's why like the last couple of weeks I put him in my Fab article, like, hey, if you could stash, because he was brought up, so he's out there, like especially in 12s, you could get him like a buck. And I haven't taken my own advice because I have nowhere to stash right now. That's the bad part. But if you could stash, he's one of those dudes that he's probably gonna be up. Bubba should be up already, Chandler. That's just ridiculous. It's a whole other story. Zebby should already be up too, but it feels like Logan might be the next man up out of the whole crew and the way things are going. So keep that in mind as well. Hayden Wesneski to the IL with a right forearm inflammation, shut down for a week from throwing. I wanted to bring this up, Ben, because I'm going to kind of let people behind the curtains of what we do in the Discord. It was a very popular discussion point this week. And like, what do we do with Wesneski? Like, there's a lot of questions. I know I said I dropped him. Pretty sure Ryan said I dropped him. I won't speak for you, but I think I know what you said. What are your thoughts on Wesneski? Because is he like a stash, a drop? How would you approach that? And then we'll talk about the other ramifications after that.
I mean, I would have loved to have kept him because he was a pretty popular flyer for me on two of my three main events, which I sadly did drop him from both. The one was the one that's been doing really well, and I mentioned in the Discord all my other injuries that I had, and he wasn't good enough to keep over the other guys. Wesneski. I mean, it's been an okay season so far. A little underwhelming. Fewer than 9 Ks per 9. He had an 8.16. The ERA was 4.5. The WHIP was like the only good thing, really, or I guess above average, and that was 1.09, I believe. Yeah, for Wesneski. So wasn't the best start, and I think the injury in the last couple of games with the elbow kind of hurt that season-long production a little bit because he only had 4 strikeouts over the last 9 innings. But before that, he had a 10-strikeout game versus the Angels, no walks, and I was excited once I saw that. I'm like, this is why I took a flyer on him because he had some problems with the Cubs, and then going to Houston, you never know what they'll unlock in a pitcher. But yeah, unfortunately, he's a drop. And this for the listeners, he's 39% rostered still in the main event, so almost – so basically 3 out of 5 leagues, he was a drop. And depending on what comes out of any updates to the elbow, that could be even more. And the one from Saturday says that they're still swelling. So that does not sound good to me either. Could be something underneath that swelling that's not nice.
Yep, that's why he shut down for at least a week to see where it goes from there. Like there's just, yeah, he's a drop for me, an easy drop for me in 12s. Well, not easy because I'm with you. Like I drafted him late, wanted the upside, all that kind of good stuff. But and 12s is much easier to drop than 15. That's why I want to get your 2 cents on that one, obviously. Ryan Gusto is gets the two-step starting on Monday, so he should have been popular, but we saw he was dropped in a main event in the Discord, which shocked me as well in that one. AJ Blueblock could be coming back after that first start. 7 runs allowed, 2 earned in that start, 6 Ks to 1 walk, because between they wanted a 6-man rotation initially coming up here with a heavy schedule, plus Lance McCullers is struggling early on, to say it nicely. So where are you at on the Gusto situation? Would you take a flyer on a Blueblock? How do you approach that?
I would wait on Blueblock probably. I was looking at Gusto's game log. He had a weird 2-out outing versus the White Sox in the 4th. I don't know if he was out of the bullpen. He came out of the bullpen that game.
Yeah, he's out of the bullpen, yeah.
I mean, even with that little blemish, he has pretty good underlying numbers in the year. Gusto was a 3.89 XERA, which is a little high, but it's good. 3.41 FIP, 3.89 XFIP, weirdly enough, same as the XERA. But the K and the walk numbers are good. It's just a lot of fly balls. It looks like only a 36.7% ground ball rate, but small sample. So, to your point, he's 97% rostered in the main event, Gusto. And I don't think he's available for me at all, which is unfortunate. But yeah, in 12s, if he's there, I would definitely take a flyer because at least for 15s, it's been rough with the pitching. So I'm sure that to some degree, 12s are still a little difficult as well to find reliable starters.
They are not great, that is for sure. I got me some Gusto this week, or at least had bids in every league on Gusto were available. So definitely on that train, I think he'll stick for a while now with multiple issues in Houston. All right, Casey Mize over the weekend hit the IL with a hamstring injury. The team says it's a mild hamstring injury. Again, take a team's info as best you wish on that one. So it could be the minimum 15 games. Could be a lot more, obviously. Where are you at on this Casey Mize deal, who's been really good this year, and this is a massive hit?
Don't have any Mize, so didn't really have to worry about it. But I did consider putting Keider Montero on the back ends of my bids, and I didn't get him anywhere. I think I got the guys ahead of him. Keeter's been pretty disappointing, but yeah, Mize has kind of been very serviceable. 35 Ks, 9 walks, and 42 2/3. Great ERA and WHIP. So yeah, you definitely want to try to hold on to him. And it's good news that it's they think it's a minor strain. And so yeah, just keep him. And then, like I said, Keeter is not really an actionable add. I kind of want him to be a thing, but I haven't really added him in 5th. Well, I did add him in a couple teams that 1 week, Montero, but the K's aren't there and definitely not worth it for 12. So probably just move along.
Agreed. And 12s, he's very tough to roster. Jake Fraley of the Reds hit the IL with a calf injury. Again, they're saying it's minor. Take that for what you wish. What I wanted to bring up to you is because they had a full week of Great American and your fab periods might be gone already, but if you're not, this is something to keep an eye on here. Will Benson is getting plenty of action all of a sudden versus right-handed pitching. We've done the Will Benson thing before. It's been good. It's been bad. It's been ugly. It's been all around. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Rhys Hyons got called up, played 3 straight games. Now I sat 2 in a row for Will Benson, which is weird to say the least. Like, you play Rhys and then you sit him. Who knows? All right-handed pitching too. So you can't say it was because of a platoon. Now it looks like it's a platoon, but we'll have to see. Would you do anything to attack the situation with Fraley on the IL?
Well, like Connor Joe played his first game with them and then he sat yesterday. It's kind of, I think, like, well, luckily for us now that it's Monday, we have the whole week to wait and see what happens. But I mean, Benson, I feel like him and Brennan are the same guys because I think they both came from Cleveland and their names are almost identical and they both stink. Well, the problem with Benson is that his average is so bad. He hit 187 last year in 128 games. That's brutal with power and speed, but that he's like Jose Siri, essentially. It seems like, yeah, we just got to wait and see. Because of the handedness, Benson's a lefty. He'll probably play most of the time because Hines could get playing time too if Benson struggles in the next few games. But, I mean, he kind of flamed out last year anyway, Hines. And I don't know. They have all these guys going in and out, all these injuries. It's kind of crazy what happens with the Reds. They have CES, Candelario, Marte, and Fraley. And I don't even know why Rush Resource keeps Tyler Callahan on that same list as the other guys, but they have 4 pretty big pieces injured right now. And I don't know, like Santiago Espinal is still playing third base for them.
That's crazy.
It's definitely a good lineup to target, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've been mentioning that in on breakfast lately, and even in the DFS or just the news segments, is you want to get your pitchers. They strike out a ton. Even though they score a few runs, they strike out so much. It's pretty bad, to say the least. A couple more bits of news here. Andrés Giménez to the IL. Looks like a short-term stint, hopefully, for Giménez. I know you have some Giménez love in your life. Ernie Clement is playing second base for the Jays. I'm not saying go make that move, but what are you doing to remedy this situation?
I was looking at Assenbarger in my main events. I think I got him in one. We'll cover that. But, yeah, he was hitting third on Sunday after playing. He hit seventh, fifth, sixth, and then third. All versus righties. He's probably going to platoon with maybe Michael Stefanik is the guy who would be the infielder for Barger, because he's playing third base with Clement at second. And I think it coincides with – I think Barger being up coincides with Giménez going down. So that's kind of like the one-to-one move. I do have Giménez on that main event that's been doing really well. I hope it sounds like he's going to be back on the weekend, hopefully, without any setbacks or everything goes well for Giménez. But Barger has some pretty good underlying numbers, and like his barrel rate's been pretty good. On the year, it's 13%, I think, when I looked at Savant earlier today or yesterday. And, ideally it would be Barger who ends up staying at third base and then Clement just goes to the bench when Giménez is back, but we can't really say what's going to happen now. But, yeah, definitely keep Giménez. And I don't know if Barger's worthy of a 12-team ad, but in 15, he was pretty popular this past weekend.
We're going to talk about Barger because when we were texting the other day, it got my attention, and he's even a guy, if he's streaking, I'll take the flyer in 12. So I put bids in pretty much everywhere for Barger. Nice. He wasn't at the top of all my waterfalls, but I did get a couple shares this week. Let's put it that way. All right. Last bit of news here. Dane Myers of the Miami Marlins, who Ryan started it. I bought in. So I agree with Ryan's what I'm saying. Dane Myers is crushing it the last couple weeks. Looked like a phenomenal fab pickup. Dane Myers hurt himself over the weekend with, I believe, a back injury. I just had it pulled up. Why didn't I remember what it is? That's my short-term
oblique
for you.
What else
oblique,
would it be?
That's what it was, oblique, yes. We don't know the grade. We were searching before the show to find the grade. Can't find it anywhere right now. At least if it is, it's not easily accessible. So Dane Myers to the IL with the oblique injury. That stinks for multiple reasons, especially when you picked him up in Fab because you thought he was day-to-day with a minor injury. Derek Hill's back starting in center field. That's what I have for that.
Yeah, it stinks because Myers had a pretty good last couple of weeks playing most of the time. Still only has 89 or 83 at bats in the year, which is very low for this point. But yep, I don't think you said it was Derek Hill who's replacing him.
Yes, he's in center field right now as we speak, because I'm watching Cubs Marlins. Yes,
I think he had some appeal last year, Derek Hill, but
he did.
What's the sample size looking like now? He only has 42 at bats. Yeah, he hasn't really played much, but three steals and 42 at bats is pretty good for Hill. I would do the same. I would wait for see how he does with the new playing time, but I would not go after Derek Hill right now.
Yep. I'm with you on that 100%. All right, enough depressing news. Let's get to it. Let's talk Fab for the week. Again, I say it every time, but for those that are new to the show, we recap the NFBC OC Fab from the week, 12-team leagues, because most players play 10 or 12-team leagues in whatever format they choose to play. So we'll get after it here, talk about the most added players. Maybe we'll mix it up with some other things, and we'll get Ben's thoughts, my thoughts, and maybe some of the chat's thoughts along the way. All right, the most added player this week, and it made a lot of sense, is the biggest prospect call-up that was available this past week, because Lawler was announced after the fact and probably wasn't available in a lot of 12s just yet, was Cade Horton of the Chicago Cubs, big-time prospect pitcher for the Cubs, made his debut this past week. Horton was picked up in 211 leagues, as high as 225, as low as a dollar, because this is OCs, this is what we do. Cade Horton they used an opener ahead of him. Horton threw four innings, allowed three earned runs, no walks, 5 Ks, picked up the win in his debut. And in the minors, been over 29 innings, 6 starts, at a 1.24 ERA with 33 strikeouts and 29 innings pitched. Good for an 18.5% K to walk. Where were you on Cade Horton? Because I didn't really have any bids on him, and maybe I should have been more excited.
I had a bid in every league, but I was at most in the 40s. I don't think he'll be up for a long time, and that's me being optimistic with Shota Imanaga's hamstring recovery because I have him in a couple in a few spots and being optimistic there. But I think Horton also hasn't really pitched a lot. He only pitched 151 innings for his career in the minors, and the most was 88 and a third in 2023. So he's battled injuries a lot. And I mean, we saw it already with the first game. He had the opener ahead of him, which is good for the wins. I mean, if they keep doing that, the Cubs, it looks like, also he gets the White Sox. So it's a very good target for this upcoming week. So that adds a little juice to the bids. Plus he's a top prospect, but yeah, I just don't think that Horton will be up for a long time. So that's why I was only in the 40s, 50s, 30s, depending on the league. But I mean, he could be good. He could be terrible. We never know with the rookies. It's just, I would definitely would not have gone as high as 225. I mean, I don't know. Like even with Amaniga, I'm one of those teams. I was as like $44. It's just I think it could be like a 2 week stint for Horton, and then he's back down in the minors.
Yeah, on paper, Horton's probably better than some starters, but it's all about are they going to stretch him out? What are they going to do? I was nervous about that. I could be wrong on it, but what's worked for me in the past is I'll save my fab money to keep streaming stuff throughout the season, then spend it all on a 2 to 3 week stream potentially. And I could be wrong because Horton's skill set is very, very good. It's not against the skills. It's more about playing time long term, which doesn't seem as locked in right now. All right. The next most added player, I know you got, you're in the discussion in the Discord about this guy, Evan Carter, Texas Rangers, recalled after the Leody Taveras demotion or basically let go and initially landed in Seattle. Evan Carter was picked up at 164 leagues, as high as 167, as low as a dollar. Through 22 plate appearances so far, Carter's hitting 273, had a home run, stolen base in his first few games, only striking out 13.6%, which is a plus over that stretch. And in AAA, AAA didn't even have it up here. Give it to me. Sometimes Fangraphs does that goofy little thing that screws me up. AAA this year hit 221, three homers, six steals, but was starting to get it cooking over the last couple of weeks, which obviously got the promotion to the bigs. Like I said earlier, you were in on Evan Carter. What's your thought process here?
Yeah, kind of the same thing I had going back into the preseason when I was liking Carter, going around pick 300 in DCs. I only got him in one, but then I did take him in a couple main events and had to drop him, unfortunately. I did get him back in a different one, and then one of the ones I originally had drafted him in. So I was pretty happy. Seeing the homer and the steal in the first week is great. That's exactly why you want Evan Carter, because he does have power and speed. And then the 3 Ks and only 22 at-bats is what you want to see, because that's I think he had issues with that in spring training and wasn't – it's definitely lower the rate so far than he had last year, Carter. I mean, it was only 22 at-bats, so you can't really extrapolate that too much. But he was hitting sixth even, which is much better than where we were thinking when he was going to hit ninth to start out the season, because the Rangers have been so bad. So he has a lot of opportunity to move up in the lineup. And then I was very excited too, because Josh Smith got scratched tonight, and then Carter was the one who hit leadoff. And then this week they're playing the Rockies for 3 or 4. So awful pitching, even though they're not in cores, it doesn't even matter. So yeah. And I think I said in the offseason too, or as we're ramping up for drafts, Carter was almost a 2020 guy projections wise last year. I think he was 17. I had to go back and look, because he was going in the hundreds, and then it was like him or Langford was the debate, and then Carter just got hurt and basically had a washed year. So if you can get him in fab or take him late like you could this year, I think he's a great bounce back option, and hopefully he gets full playing time. Because the one concern, I guess, is, well, there's two. It's the back and then also the platoon issues. But with the way the Rangers are in terms of injuries and production, I think they could maybe give him a chance versus lefties, Carter. But I mean, like right now they have Sam Haggerty as the option for him. I don't know if that's actually going to be a thing. It'd be kind of sad if Sam Haggerty's platooning with Evan Carter, but who knows? So yeah, I'm pretty optimistic with Carter, and hopefully he has another productive week.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Like the biggest thing with Carter, it's been the talking point all over the place, is will they play him versus lefties? That could be the interesting part. Jake Berger's backup with Texas. Ezekiel Duran was playing shortstop. It looks like Corey Seager's going to go to the IL. I'd imagine Smith plays more there, but they're also saying, like, well, if Seager's at short, Smith could platoon with Evan Carter in center as an option as well. So we'll see, but it's still strong side platoon. And in 15s, it still plays very well. 12s should play pretty well. Like, I've always, when I look at Evan Carter, I know there's a very a much higher ceiling, but I feel like could you just give me a Verdugo floor with a potential ceiling? Like, we'll be in business, but we've seen his floor fall out at times, and worth a shot, though. I definitely agree with your mindset behind that. The skills are there. He's young. Maybe he takes that next step, and we see where it goes. There it is, the third most added player. He's on the bump right now in the first against the Royals. Ryan Gusto picked up in 105 leagues, as high as $54, as low as a buck. And this is one that I said I was very much like, I wanted more Ryan Gusto than Cade Horton, which might have been the wrong decision to make there. But like, I could see a world where Gusto sticks in the rotation for a while type thing, where I don't think Horton does. And at worst, he goes like, he's not going back to AAA. Let's put it that way. He's going to be a long man out of the pen, which showcased some goods there. But since Gusto joined the rotation on April 12th, and he had that 1 2/3 innings outing out of the pen, which is 3 runs, no earned. But his 4 starts, it was 8 earned runs over 19 innings pitched. So like, it wasn't great, but not bad. 20 strikeouts to 4 walks, which I like to see a lot over that stretch. So the K to walk was really, really good. The fastball's got some nastiness to it. He struck out Salvi here in the first, Salvi Perez. I'm very optimistic when we had it. And plus, he had a good 2-step this week. So I was all aboard the Gusto train.
Yeah, like I said before, I couldn't really have added Gusto. He's been kept in the 15s. And yeah, but I completely get adding him. And I agree with your take that he could probably be around longer than Horton. So I didn't have the opportunity to prioritize Gusto over Horton, but it would have been a tough decision to figure out who I would have wanted more. And I think Gusto has a good shot of sticking just because of how bad McCullers is. And then the uncertainty with Wesneski's elbow. So yep. Definitely a good ad.
And just for context here, for main event, we've been talking OC just for main events, 57 leagues for Cade Horton, max 337, men 45. So the men I can get with, the max still tough. Ryan Gusto in mains picked up at 18 leagues, because you mentioned he was pretty much held everywhere else. But as high as 107, as low as 27. So a high of 107 there, a high of 337 for Horton in the mains, if people want a little context behind all that as well. All right, now is where like these ads make sense. There's reasons for these ads, obviously, but the name value starts to leave the map here in a minute. Colt Keith was the fourth most added player this week. Picked up in 90 leagues, as high as $75, as low as a buck. Colt Keith, the Tigers are going off. He's 0 for 2 tonight and got taken out of the game. So I'm kind of curious. I'll have to do some research as we talk about Colt. But you look at his regular stat line, 214, 4 homers, 18 runs, 12 RBIs. Looks real bad. But what you want to look a little deeper on with Colt Keith, it's if you're thinking streakiness, maybe he's figuring something out, whatever you prefer. Over the last 7 games, of like the past week, give or take, hitting 364, 2 home runs, striking out 12.5%. What were your thoughts on maybe a Colt Keith addition to the life these days?
I completely missed that he has 4 home runs in the last 2 weeks. I kind of want to check to see. I don't think he was available, was he?
In the main events, he's added in 10 leagues, as high as 8 leagues, as low as 5.
So I wonder if that means that – let's see what this looks like right here. Keith. Yeah, so he was basically rostered in all but 11 leagues. So he's 97% rostered right now, Keith. Yeah, so I wasn't – admittedly, I'd never been a big Keith fan. I didn't think he had that good of a profile for a first – well, he was second base. Yeah, second baseman. No speed, not the most power. I mean, maybe he is breaking out in the power department now. I just mentioned he has 4 homers in the last 2 weeks. But – he's only hitting 214 on the year. Not a lot of Ks, though, so it kind of seems like it's BABIP-driven, which can always correct very fairly easily as long as you hit the ball relatively well. But, yeah, it does think that he didn't really get a lot of the goodness that was the Red Sox game tonight with the Tigers. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely more of a 15-team play. I think people just saw the 4 homers recently, and that's why they added him. But I don't know if I have expectations for Keith going forward.
And then they pinch hit with him just to top it off. Like, they didn't even let him continue because there's probably going to be a position player coming in to pitch pretty soon, which would have been cool. But no Colt Keith action there, which is definitely a bummer. Jake Cronenworth, I was surprised to see him so widely available this week. I know he went to the IL and all, but Cronenworth available in 86 leagues. Or he picked up in 86 leagues. I'm assuming that's what he's available in. Max of 125, as low as a dollar. Came back in Coors, which always helps to get the mojo rising. He's only hitting 267 with 3 home runs this season. So been a slow go for Cronenworth, but I think we all know kind of who he can be. He's walking more than he's striking out on this season. He has a two, you know, for only three home runs, he still has a 244 ISO, which is pretty good, a 273 BABIP. I like Cronenworth quite a bit. I was interested in Cronenworth. I don't think I won Cronenworth. He was available in two mains, as high as 42, as low as 21. If Cronenworth was available, which he probably wasn't for you, how interested would you have been in Fab?
It depends on the needs, because he's a unique profile. Cronenworth, he's like kind of like a compiler. Not a lot of speed. Only has a career high of 6 steals and not the best average. But he usually plays all the time when he's healthy, and so he gets in the heart of the lineup. So one thing I was checking while you were talking was where he's been playing. So because of Merrill's and then Bogaerts and Arias, Cronenworth is now hitting 6th, and he hit 8th versus a lefty today for the Padres. So not as good as maybe last year when he was hitting 3rd a lot. But, yeah, last week he was 3-for-10 with a homer. I think and also one thing to keep in mind is that the games he played against were he was in Sacramento, then in Colorado. So he had a very nice boost off the IL. Actually, Colorado. I'm looking at, yeah. Colorado. So the problem was that it said April 8th to May 9th. So I was in my head, I'm like, oh, it's all one straight thing. There's a month in between there, Ben. Come on. Yeah. But either way, Colorado is a great start back, and that's why he had the nice first week. But I think when he went on the IL, Cronenworth, I remember saying that he was definitely a drop in 12 just because the upside's so limited. But now that he's back, maybe you have injuries, the first and second eligibility is very nice as well. You get corner and middle. So I get it. But I view him more as a 15-team target than anything.
No, that's fair. That's totally fair. The corner middle thing would have been helpful for me in like one league that he was available. He wasn't available in my other. So I was in, but I'm pretty sure I didn't get him. We'll skip over Dane Meyers, who was added in 78 leagues, as high as 45, as low as a dollar. We'll get back to that later when I get back and find out how much I wasted on that one. God, that sucks because he was playing so well. Ha-Sung Kim of the Dodgers added in 73 leagues, as high as $73. Ha-Sung's been playing primarily versus righties, hitting .318, 2 stolen bases, not a ton of power, but very good contact skills. Just knowing he's platooning Ben and just other question marks, I guess, with the situation, I was not in on Kim. He was picked up in 28 main event leagues for as high as 175, as low as 5. What was your interest in a guy like Ha-Sung Kim this week?
Well, I think last week was the week to add him for me, but as you just said, he didn't get it added in all those and as many leagues as I thought he would have in the main event. So that's kind of surprising just because of the speed and the team. But yeah, he's batting when Kim's playing, he's hitting 8th and then he's platooning. So that's not very good, no matter how fast you are, I don't think. Especially when it comes with probably no power at all. He's probably like the poor man's version of Chandler Simpson, probably. So I'm not at a point where I'm desperate for speed yet. Fortunately, I don't think. Well, I haven't really been looking at my stats too closely. It's so early still in terms of doing that, but. Yeah, I mean, I could see him more in a 15-teamer. In a 12, it's definitely harder for me to roster someone with no power in a spot when the quality of player at each position is a little bit higher than you would have in the main event. But it is the Dodgers, and some people do get drawn to speed. Typically everyone is looking for speed to some degree, but when it's like 50 potentially steals, I think that's what he did in Korea. I get it. It's just what I did have my bids in last week, it was maybe – $10 at the most, just because I don't have a lot of optimism for what he's going to be able to do.
And that's fair. That's kind of where I was at. I'm like, okay, I like the dude. I like the profile, but primarily a 12-team player, like it's not adding me a ton. Like I would rather have Jake Cronenworth, honestly, than Ha-Sung Kim, as weirdly as that sounds. But yeah, both kind of much more 15-team oriented indeed. Dennis Santana, here's how things have changed so quickly. Picked up in 70 leagues, as high as $78, as low as a buck. We were all thinking, okay, Santana went to the bereavement list. Bednar's looked great. Bednar's the closer. Not so fast, my friends. This past weekend, Santana picked up the save on Friday, pitched on Saturday too, then got the win on Sunday. Bednar got the hold on Friday, pitched on Saturday. They didn't even pitch on Sunday. So I think this is going to continue to be a volatile situation, Ben. But it's almost like they did give it back to Santana when he returned. Like, hey, you're the primary guy. Now, given, I'm pretty sure the night Bednar got the hold and Santana got the save, Bednar faced like 2-3-4 or something. There's leverage involved there. Could be wrong. But it looks like Santana's got the gig for now, and people bid it accordingly this weekend.
Yeah, I pulled up reliever recon. They have a platoon, and they have Bednar at the top spot right now. So they haven't been quick to change it yet. I guess since Bednar's on top of Santana on roster resource, that kind of implies he's the lead between the two. Yeah, it's you get the save and then the win from Santana. That's a pretty big week. So it's very messy. I don't know. Bednar, yeah, sure, he was great, but he's been so bad since when he was great. It's been a couple of years now. But his underlying numbers are pretty good for Bednar. His XERA is 3.29, FIPS 2.21, XFIP 2.44. So I feel like he's just been a little unlucky. His BABIP's pretty high, left the base is kind of low. Don't know if the Pirates are smart enough to see all that. So they might just keep going with whoever gets the results, and maybe that is Santana. But looking at the prices, it's relatively cheap. So it's a couple 78s and a couple 58s, a lot of 30s, 20s for the bids, for the winning bids for Santana. So I think it's fine because, I mean, I added Jesus Sunoco, so who am I to criticize reliever chases? But, yeah, if you need saves, you need saves.
Yep, Tinoco was definitely a guy in play as well, but we might get to him sooner or later. He's picked up in 46 leagues. He's paid 190. Yeah, we'll get to him in a minute. Daniel Schneeman picked up in 70 leagues as high as $53, as low as a buck. Yeah, people are like, who? Well, first off, Daniel Schneeman is second base, shortstop, outfield eligible, so that gets people's interest. We did this song and dance last year. He had his moments last year. He's probably more of a 15-team play than a 12, but he was picked up in a lot of 12. Over the last 2 weeks, Ben, Schneeman's hit 324 with 3 home runs, so that's gotten people's interest. I wasn't overly excited. Like I said, we've done this before. I'd rather have Gabriel Arias than Schneeman. Schneeman's going to sit versus lefties. They are facing a lot of righties this week in Cleveland. But I was just kind of out. I get it. He's hot. Maybe he figured something out, but not a big interest level for me.
This is someone that I've missed. I remember when he was a big ad last year in the main event, Schneeman. It's just I haven't really needed a lot of middle infield helps. This, I think it kind of explains why I haven't been looking his way the last couple of weeks in Fab. He is rostered in all 3 of my main events. He is available in my listener league, though, which is something to note.
He was picked up in 26 mains, as high as 51, as low as 10.
Yeah, so what's his roster rate now, Schneeman? He is 9. Basically that was the rest of him. So yeah, he was adding like almost half the first week after he kind of broke out, and then the rest almost. He's 98% rostered, so someone missed out on him. Not sure who that would be, but I look at him. He's 28. So is it really going to stick? I don't know. Like, yeah, it's good that he's hitting second, but like to your point, we did this last year with Schneeman, and it kind of fell apart eventually. So I guess if you just want to ride the hot hand, I get it. But he's definitely more of a 15-team play than a 12. I would definitely not be looking at him in an OC. Doesn't really run either. Only had 3 steals and 193 at-bats last year. 218 average. So definitely a lot of worrying. There's definitely a lot of ways that he could hurt you if you keep rolling him out there.
Yep. I'm with you. Over. I guess ride it while it's hot and see where it goes from there. Porter Hodge picked up in 69 leagues, as high as 131, as low as a dollar. Hodge got the save on Saturday and got blown up on Sunday. So that was a good way to get to the Fab. I lowered my bets everywhere. I don't think I got a share. Maybe I did. We'll see. But I still think he's the better closer than Ryan Pressly. Ryan Pressly he didn't even pitch much. He got destroyed on Tuesday against the Giants and like didn't even get an out game. Then he pitched on Friday, just non-safe situation, and then it hasn't been utilized since. So I don't know if they're just trying to get his mind right. Hodge should be the closer. He's the better pitcher. Not all managers do what should be done. So I get the aggressiveness. Just I'm surprised some stayed so aggressive after Sunday night.
Well, I mean, when Presley's been so bad, it's kind of,
I guess you have to. So yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's only one outing. I mean, if you look at Hodge's, where is he? I lost him. Player movement, Porter Hodge. There he is. Yeah, so he only gave up. That was his first earned run since April 8th. So it's his bad timing that it happened to be right after he got the save, and then it probably was another save situation, I'm assuming. So I get yeah, he should be rostered probably in all 12s, Hodge, and of course all 15s as well. I just pulled up Presley's numbers, and he has more walks than Case still. So it's I think he's toast. So I think it's going to be Hodge going forward. And reliever Recon and Fangraphs both have Hodge at the head of the committee for right now. So, and I agree with that.
Yep. I think that is a great point. So, yes, yeah, so even with the blow up, people stuck to their guns, and I think they'll get paid off in the end when it comes to Cubby saves on that one. Really curious to hear your thoughts on this one, being a Yankees fan. Will Warren picked up in 65 leagues, as high as $255. Can't wrap my head around that, to be honest. Yes, he looked great in Sacramento. 7 1/3, 1 run, 7 Ks. And kind of rough, to say the least. Struggles to get to 5 innings. Prior to that, maybe this was a sign of something to come and people were jumping on the train. I know with a lot of helium towards the end of draft season. Will Warren gets Seattle this week in Seattle. Great ballpark to pitch in. Tough matchup, all things considered. Then the following week, Texas at home in the Bronx, and then at Coors Field, which obviously is not a great lineup, but still Coors Field. So the next three starts are okay, I'll say. I'll give it that. I'll give it the okay. What are your thoughts on this, especially spending $255?
Well, I'll start off by saying that I sat Will Warren in a DC this week.
There you go. Seattle's offense isn't a joke right now.
Yeah, I was looking at the splits for the last 2 weeks for teams, and then so in general, the Mariners have been very good versus righties. I said, okay, so what about home? I think the WRC plus went up at home versus on the road. So I'm like, okay, see you, Warren. So I pulled up his Fangraphs. He has a 3.62 FIP and a 3.43 XFIP, 4.40 XERA, which is not good, but the FIP and the XFIP are pretty nice. Sierra for Warren is 3.73, so he's actually doing pretty well under the surface. The problem really is the walks. He has a 10% walk rate. The K rate's only 20, it's like 26, which is good, but then with the high walk rate, you're back down to a 15.8 K minus walk. The whip's 1.36. It's still kind of ugly for him despite this phenomenal start that he had. So yeah, I think people just saw that he succeeded in Sacramento, and that's why they went after Warren. But I just don't fully trust him yet after he's been so inconsistent this year. I mean, this is how he was last year too. He had his high and low points when he first, well, actually a lot more lows. He had a 10 ERA last year in 22 innings, but yeah, it's hard to trust him right now. And so, like I said, even in the DC where my options were limited, I still was able to find some more other pitchers that I was a little more confident in. So it could be ugly with Warren, the way Seattle's hitting this week, even if they are in Seattle, but I would just be, He's not that quality of a pitch. I mean, it was one outlier bid. The second highest bid for Warren and OCs was $70. So that 255, I don't know what, maybe it was a misclick or something, hopefully.
Hopefully, but yeah.
A lot of them are in the 20s, teens, a lot of single-digit bids.
That's fine.
That makes more sense. But yeah, I'm still not confident that he's going to be a pretty reliable starter yet.
All right, we're going to start hopping around now. So, we don't have to talk about it. I just want to let you know you're asking about Barger and 12s. Picked up in 62 leagues, as high as 51. So that's there. I want to get your thoughts real quick on Jordan Romano. Picked up in 55 leagues, as high as $117. Romano picked up his third save of the year on Sunday. Still not the consensus guy there. It was a save, then three regular outings and a save. But he hasn't allowed a run in his last five outings. He's allowed 0 runs in 6 of his last 7. Honestly, outside of like a one rough outing, he's been overall pretty good, all things considered. Not a ton of strikeouts. Where are you at on Jordan Romano, who, again, is not the full-time closer by any means, but looks like he's getting a little more action in the back of games.
So I looked at where he's available for me, and actually one of the teams is one where I could use a closer, but I don't know. Alvarado's got a 24-3 K to walk. 24 Ks to 3 walks in 19 innings. He's been dominant, 6 saves. He didn't go in back-to-back games, Alvarado, when Romano got the save or anything like that. So it seemed like he was available, but I don't know. I just don't trust it. I feel like it's going to be Alvarado for now. And yeah, Romano did have a good stretch of games last couple weeks. Like to your point, no runs in the last 4 innings, it's only 4 innings, but it's a start for him because he's been so bad. Maybe I'll reconsider looking at Romano in that one main event for this upcoming weekend, but I don't know. I wouldn't be too confident that he's going to get the rest of the saves, but I mean, saves are hard to come by in season. And if you see an opportunity, you kind of usually have to pounce on it. So I get adding him, but I don't have a lot of confidence that he's going to stick with it at all.
All right. For those that were unaware, Ryan Weathers was picked up in 42 leagues as high as 72 because he's going to make the start this week, I believe Tuesday or Wednesday for the Marlins against the Cubbies. So keep that one in mind. Jake Berger's back. He's picked up in 39 leagues as high as 101. He's back in the lineup tonight. But I'm going to switch over to see who got the most money spent on them. Jason Dominguez, after his three home run game, picked up in three leagues as high as 369. That's, you know, as low as 134. Ozzie Albies was available in one league, but let's talk multiple ads. Gavin Sheets picked up in 56 leagues, Ben, as high as 331, as low as a dollar. I love Gavin Sheets, but here's to your point. It was 30, 31, and then everything was 42 and below. So that kind of checks out after a while. Where were you at on Gavin Sheets? Because I have a ton of shares.
Just while I'm talking, go to the teams and see who had the 331. I don't want to say his name, but you're asking about Sheets, right? Oh man, like there's this.
Yeah, give me a second. I have to reset things.
Yeah, you gotta see who the 331 is. It's like it's a big outlier, and then.
Yeah, then I saw the rest were.
You see, you added him. I was kind of stunned to see that. Oh,
still
man.
Am I. That is a bit surprising. Yes, yes. Wow. Yeah, I mean, the rest are 42 and below. Yes.
Yeah, he's hitting 304, but Sheets has never hit above 250 for a season in his career. Usually it's like 230, 203 one year. His career high is 15 homers in 2022. Doesn't steal. He's a strict platoon bat. So, I don't know. It's the other bids, they're like in the 40s, 30s. Okay, I get that. There's a lot of more reasonable bids in the 331, but he's definitely a streamer that you're going to probably be dropping, especially in 12s after a good week of a lot of righties.
Yep, five righties again this week. So it's just like last week, he was in play over the weekend at Coors, dominated another big righty. He's basically the Padres' Pavin Smith is what I say. So like you're going to play him in the right weeks. He could be a potential like bench just because you know you're going to want like I don't know if he's going to be jock last year, jock, but he could get close to it. He's playing that way right now. Just who knows if he does it for a full season type deal. AJ Smith-Shawver picked up in 40 leagues as high as 301, as low as 17. So this is our first one, Ben. There wasn't a dollar winner here, which was a plus. There was 301, and then there was a 121, 121, 117, 108, and then below triple digits from there. So definitely some moving and shaking there for AJ Smith-Shawver. Wanted to get your thoughts on him because this is a guy that people liked in the prospect world quite a bit. It's been a rough go last year. Got recalled, after a couple starts. Looked really good since in the three starts since he's been recalled. Been at least five innings, three total earned runs, with 17 strikeouts over those 19 innings pitched. So it looks really good right now. Where are you at on AJ Smith-Shawver?
He was the big ad in the main event last week for the two-step, which he did very well. He had 13 and two-thirds innings pitched, 12 Ks, six walks a little high, one win, but a sub-1 ERA and a sub-1 whip. So that's a big win for whoever streamed him last week. But unfortunately for the OC players, they kind of missed out, it looks like, at least 40 of them. So I'm sure he was rostered in a good amount last week, Smith-Shawver. Now he's got the Nationals, who are they're an okay matchup. They can be pesky, though. I guess kind of like what we were saying earlier, at least I was saying earlier about who's going to get kicked out when Strider comes back, whether it's Elder or Smith-Shawver, who knows? I guess it depends on how they both pitched on Wednesday and Thursday. But even with how Smith-Shawver has done recently, he still has 13.8% K minus walk. His walk rate's basically 11%, which isn't very good. The FIP and the XFIP are pretty good. They're in the mid threes, but the XERA is 5.15. So he's been getting hit hard. His left on base is 85.4%, which is pretty high. That's very fortunate. So little good luck has gone his way. And I think that, like I said, Smith-Shawver may not be around for much longer, and you kind of missed the better part of the streaming situation with the last week's matchups. And I mean, there's a good chance for a win versus the Nationals, but I mean, with the high walk rate and he's asking for trouble with getting the base runners on base, it could be a little bit of a blow up, but just be ready to drop him potentially if he gets sent down.
Apparently, Tyler Glass now is available in three leagues. Been one as high as 298, as low as 87. Not sure I'm willing to risk about a third of my starting season budget on a guy I still don't trust to stay healthy, but okay. Will Warren, we talked about him. Cade Horton, we discussed. Here's one. Steven Kolek of the San Diego Padres picked up in 46 leagues, as high as 200, as low as a dollar. After the 200, was 58 and below. So just keep that in mind when you're talking here. But Kolek, complete game shutout in Coors. That was great. Other than that, I'm skeptical, to say the least here, Ben, of the 28-year-old right-handed pitcher who finally made his I guess he got a couple innings in 2024, all out of the bullpen. He's in the rotation now, is what I should clarify. But he's two good starts. He hasn't allowed a run in his first two starts. So where you end on Steven Kolek?
I didn't even know that he made these starts. It wasn't until I listened to the RotoWire pod today that I heard about him, and Jeff and Scott mentioned him, and I go, oh, interesting. So it was 2 days ago. I dismissed that one, and even if I had seen this, I don't know if I would have. I mean, it was the Pirates and the Rockies, so yep, it's
exactly
two of the easiest matchups you can get, and he has only 11
this week.
Yeah, they're on the well. Like I kind of said earlier, it doesn't really matter where the Mariners are playing; they're hitting really well, which is kind of funny to say now after how last year went. So I could see this being a pretty rough start for Kolek. I don't know. Yeah, he didn't make any starts last year. He had a 5.21 ERA and 1.5 WHIP, so that wasn't too promising.
Yeah, no, it's he might have his moments. There's no doubting that. Yu Darvish is getting stretched out. He might be back in like 3 weeks, so that could be the it for Kolek at the same time. So I get it for a cheap stream, but I probably wouldn't even have played him against Seattle either. Alec Bohm was available in 11 leagues. We'll talk about him later. That surprised me was that many leagues. All right. That's about it, I think. There's Varsho is a big one. Ranger Suarez. Anything else standing out to you? I guess let me move over to the main event real quick. Uncle Ted was mentioning him in the chat, so I want to get your thoughts because I am out on this player. Ryan's mentioned him a few times in the past. Wasn't as excited, I guess, about him coming into this week, but the second most added player in the main events was Brett Beatty in 48 leagues, as high as $81, as low as $2. Brett Beatty's getting some regular run right now, sitting versus lefties, of course, getting some regular run at third base with Mark Vientos's struggles. Vientos playing DH as well, but Beatty's getting some runs. So I'll let you have the floor here. Where were you at on Brett Beatty, who I believe just struck out as we speak?
I think I had bids in for him last week. So going into I think the announcement happened that he was going to get called up going into Fab on Sunday, because I think that's why I was interested in Beatty. But this is just because of the three homers in two games. I don't know. He's like the best quad A player, Beatty, possible. Yeah. It seems like. And I'm in a group chat with a bunch of Met fans, and it's a running joke with one of the guys about whenever Beatty is does something, it's because the guy loves him. But I don't know. He's been terrible. He's been around 220 every season that he's been up, and some pretty decent at bats too in those years. Some of them, like 2023, was 353 at bats. He hit 212. So I mean, maybe finally now he's still like he was relatively young in those years. Right now he's 25, but like to your point with Vientos, I feel like they have a lot of it's not a lot of space in that lineup right now because everyone's pretty much healthy and they want to get Acuña. Yeah, McNeil came back. They have Marte and Taylor on the bench who are decent options. So any signs of struggling for Beatty, he's probably going to get sent down again. And is anyone going to come back? There's Winker, but I don't know how long he'll be out for. He's the oblique. Siri's hurt, but he's not really going to mess with Beatty's playing time. Maybe he could kick McNeil to the infield again potentially. So I don't know. It's a lot of uncertainty right now, but I guess it's because of the three homers in two games, you kind of add Beatty, and I get it, but I wouldn't have gone too crazy with my bids.
Yeah, Adam Lee says it in the chat. I was going to mention it to you. Evan Carter already stole a base tonight, so you got that going for you.
Let's go.
Speaking of that, Ben, let's pivot. Let's pivot to our ads of the week and see if you can figure out which player you're supposed to make fun of me on when we get there. But,
I should have looked at the messages more closely because I think you probably mentioned it. I just didn't go back to look.
I did, but we'll get there shortly. So I'll give you the floor. And how'd your ad drops go this week?
All right. First up is the New Jersey main event. This is where I got Barger. I dropped Max Muncy, so maybe that's telling you a lot. 34-23.
Great drop. I've been begging people to do that for a long freaking time. Thank you.
Yeah, I took a flyer on a couple teams, and then he just really hasn't been doing anything. No power. He hit that one homer, but that's it. I don't know. He's just – maybe he has washed up finally, Muncy. So, yeah, then I got Bryce Elder for the start. I dropped Hayden Wesneski 12-7. Added Michael Lorenzen, dropped Sean Burke 12-8. And then I added Dean Kramer, dropped Eric Lauer 8-0. I thought Lauer was a big miss, but then he got the win on Sunday. But
because of a piggyback. If they keep piggybacking him, it's interesting.
Yeah, he could be this year's Brand Herder. But
yep.
So when I came to Lauer and my drops, I kept the list shorter because I didn't want to force the drop. But I got Kramer, and he's kind of pitching kind of like how I thought he made this year. So I figured, okay, well, we'll go with the guy who's going to start all the time and see what happens. But yeah, keep an eye on Lauer in deeper leagues. The main event two, this is where I got Tinoco. I dropped Phil Maton 34-21. I already had Fauché, so now I went from having all the Rockies closers on this team to now all the Marlins closers on this team. So you can probably guess how I'm doing in saves on this team right now. And then I got James Outman. Yeah, not good. I'm near the bottom. This is the one where I'm considering punting saves soon because I have Ryan Walker, and I don't have to say anything else about that. So then my second ad was James Outman, dropped Kerstad 16-2. This is like an upside play if Outman gets a lot of playing time and see what happens. But Kerstad's been kind of crappy and he's platooning, so figured take another chance on the different platoon bat. And this is a great 15 team ad. I added Patrick Corbin, dropped Cade Povich 12-0. I'm playing Corbin this week versus the Rockies. And then I added Kyle Harrison. I dropped Chase Dolander 4-0. I did hear that the plan is to keep Harrison in the bullpen for now, or at least not kick out anyone from the rotation. But I mean, at some point, Hicks and then Roop are probably going to keep stinking, and they probably have to make a move. So I think Harrison will probably be first in line. Hopefully you would agree with that, but I got a cheap stash.
I mentioned it on the show last week. I think I did in my Fab article. Like I actually like almost love the Harrison ad on teams for now more than Birdsong. Birdsong might go to the rotation soon. I think Birdsong's the better pitcher. But the increased velocity, like Harrison could pitch just twice a week and give you like five innings with 6 or 7 Ks and ratios, maybe sneaking a win. Like he can help you way more than some streaming starting pitchers most weeks right now. So I am all about getting that Kyle Harrison. He's just watching his appearances. He looks like a completely different pitcher right now, which is what I mentioned to Ryan a couple of weeks ago in AAA. He was doing so well, and Ryan pulled up his minor league leaderboard. I was like, oh my goodness, he is. Like, look at this. And it's like, yeah, he looks like a brand new man. His velocity's looking great. Hopefully it doesn't lead to what velocities usually lead to, but we'll cross that path when we get there.
Yeah, so the stash in for now. That team's been relatively healthy, so I could afford to do that. So that's why I did on that main event. So see what happens. Now main event three, the one's been doing really well. This is an ad that I'm very happy about. So I got him back, him being Evan Carter, because I did draft him in this main event. I dropped Verdugo 44-35. I did play Carter, so it's good to hear I got that steal already. And then I added Simeon Woods Richardson. I dropped Hayden Wesneski 8-1. And then I added again Dean Kramer, dropped Eric Lauer, this time 6-0. So now next up is the listener league for you and Ryan. Michael Toglia was available in this league, so I got him 18-8. I dropped Rowdy. I figured take a little better playing time and upside with Toglia. That's my backup first baseman. And I got $18 is pretty cheap in a 15, so I can't really complain there. Then I got Evan Carter here, dropped Kyron Paris 18-17. So that was a pretty good win.
Nice.
I got Soroka, dropped Povich 14-1. And that was it. So three ads there.
Sweet. All right. My first OC, one ad this week. Ryan Gusto dropped Hayden Wesneski 14-4. Gusto's allowed 4 runs in the first 2 innings. So that's awesome. But still like the skill set, like everything we discussed before, so not too concerned there. OC2, I added Alec Bohm, who was available in my league. Dropped Cameron Meisner 67-20. So I have a Bohm share, Ben. That's the one you guys were making fun of me at in the chat, you and Ryan, how things have changed around there. So
yeah. I think every time you guys did a pocket preview or a position preview, you just hated on Bohm every time, I believe. And then I thought it was very ironic that now you added him, but it makes sense. Fab is different from drafting though. So
yeah, that's what I mentioned in our chat. It's like, I didn't want to pay the ADP for him as my starting third baseman, but I will pay $67 for him to be a corner infield, the utility or a first baseman that provides good batting average. If my team already has decent power type situation, and that's where Bohm comes into play. So I don't mind it in that regard. I also added Gavin Sheets, dropped Christopher Morel, $16 to $11 runner-up in that one, because I do like what Sheets has to offer, and a guy I might actually hold on to for a little while as well. All right, 250 standalone, added Javi Baez. This is where these 250 standalones suck. See, and this is the funny part. So I got Bohm 67, runner-up 20 in the OC. Standalone here, Bohm went for 85, so I would have lost out to him. Runner-up was 46. So you never know in 12s. But I got Javi Baez, dropped Christopher Morel 11 to nothing. Got J.P. Crawford, dropped Cam Smith 6 to nothing. So loving these standalone leagues. In the Vegas standalone league, where I was in first place after Sunday evening, just want to let the listeners know that one. All you Bubba and the Bloom listeners that were at that draft, because it won't last all year, but we're going to live it up right now. I got, and this is why it won't last. I got Ryan Gusto, dropped Logan Allen, 22 to 1, $1 runner-up. And then we're going to see a trend coming up here, Ben. I got Patrick Corbin. This is where it's funny. So runner-up bid from Gusto, two steps, just stick in rotation, $1. I got Patrick Corbin, dropped Gunnar the hog, 12 to 12. Runner, it was a perfect unicorn, 12-12. I'll explain the hog drop. I love Hoagland. I probably will add him again this year. He's was facing the Dodgers in LA this week, which was a no start for me in a 12. Second, JT Ginn's supposed to be back this week, and on rumors, this could be different, are saying that means Hoagland goes back to the minors. So that's where I was on that. I could regret it. I know I would love to still roster Gunnar Hoagland. In a perfect world, Osvaldo Beto's gone and they let Hoagland and Ginn stick in the rotation, but I don't know if the A's will do that. So I want to mention that. And then I added Miguel Andujar, dropped Eli White 7-1. Andujar is going to get third base eligibility this week, so he'll be third base outfield. Hits for average, a little bit of pop. He's basically just a bench bat that can be flexible, and I'll play when he's in Sacramento. And Eli White was cool for a while, and that coolness has disappeared. Bubba in the Bloom Listener League picked up Dane Myers, dropped Eli White 24-18. That was cool. At least I didn't break the bank on that, but that still sucks. Patrick Corbin dropped Ryan Nelson 18-7. Added Addison Barger, dropped Kyle Former 16-0. That's cool. And then I did get a Schneeman share, apparently. He wasn't at the top of my list. I got Schneeman, dropped Joe Adell 6-1. I needed so much offensive help in that league. I was getting rather aggressive in that one. My real Olak. Quick,
with Adell, you didn't change your mind after what he did last couple games?
No, he was mainly playing because Soler's been hurt. I should have. I just kind of see the track record, unless he figured something out offensively. The playing time is disappearing. He could be better than that. Who knows? I could regret it in a 15. My offense is so bad there, I can't wait type situation. It was the problem. I get what you're saying. Over the weekend, he did actually hit a couple home runs and looked decent. But I sadly need to see a lot more from him because he's been so bad. And it was basically Kyren Parris was taking his playing time when everyone was healthy. And that was very weird having my two crushes fight it out now in Anaheim. So, yes.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Parris because on the team, on the Listener League where I dropped Parris, I originally had Adell as my drop, and then I switched it after so I'm pulling up the playing time right now. Yeah, Parris is playing all that. Well, so Adell played 4 of the last 5, and then Parris has played the last 6. So I think Adell's been doing better slightly than Parris, which is pretty it's a pretty low bar for Parris to trip over. But yeah, I was just curious. So that's why I asked, because I had that same dilemma myself, and I ended up switching from Parris as the keeper to dropping him after the weekend was over. So
the real answer is they're probably both not rosterable.
Even in 15s.
And then in my Olak, I added Addison Barger there, dropped Ben Williamson 16-6. That's 2-for-2 in the 15 world. And that's where we'll wrap things up, because you don't need to hear about the other Earths and TGFBIs and all that stuff. All right, got a couple listener questions, then we'll head on out of here, Ben. First one is from our buddy Todd Whitestone, who says, see what you guys think about ranking these closers in terms of fantasy value from this point forward, Ben. Let's get your pen ready. Raisel Iglesias, Ryan Walker, Trevor McGill, and Luke Jackson. All four currently have the job but have been less than perfect. Thank you. I know my rankings. Where does yours stand?
Yeah, so I tried doing my homework before this. I went Iglesias, McGill, Walker, Jackson. I think McGill and Walker are kind of a toss-up.
That's exactly what I had.
But I slightly lean McGill over Joe Walker just because, like, I think Walker's swinging strike rate's 7% or something. It's really tanked. So I was looking at their underlying stats. I'm like, yeah, well, at least McGill still has good underlying numbers, even though he hasn't really gotten a lot of saves. And with Walker, he also has Duvall to fight off. So that's why I lean McGill over Walker.
Yep, I am completely with you on that one. Actually, McGill's, the only thing hurting McGill is either an injury or a trade. Walker actually has, yeah, you said Duvall climbing, and Walker's looked really, really bad lately, and it's not a great feeling. Tom Rodriguez says, hey guys, are there any A's starting pitchers even worth rostering besides JP Sears? Had high hopes for Springs and thought even Severino or Beto could be useful, but it's not looking good for any of them. Might have to swear them off for the year with that home park. Starting at home is very tricky. On the road, though, I do like Ginn and the Hog. If the Hog's around, I like both of them.
Yeah, so whoever's in the rotation, I put down those two guys. So, yeah, I don't really want anything to do with Springs, Severino, or Beto right now.
Yep, 100%. And then Jeff Biddle at Topanga Jeff says, what is the best lesson that you have learned from the worst performing fantasy team this year? That is a phenomenal question.
So if we go by points, it's literally my first league that I drafted. So jokingly, I was saying, don't draft in December. it's my first DC, and it's riddled with injuries. But then I was looking at the draft board to get a little better look at it, and I don't think I was aggressive enough with my mid-round starting pitchers. So I always get caught up in DCs with the projections and looking at, okay, there's all these full-time hitters. I just want to gobble them all up, and then usually my rotation takes a hit because of it. So you really have to hit on the guys you take after that. And I made a point going into this draft season to not do that as much, try to be a little more balanced with my bench picks and like those 300s, 400s picks between hitters and pitchers. And I think the first time through, I kind of was stuck in my old mentality, and I wasn't as aggressive with starters. So it's hurt me so far, but probably, so maybe I will start in December again this year, but try to adjust the pitching strategy, I think. But then I looked at the standings and my hitting is atrocious. So it didn't even matter. I think it was just a bad draft in general.
That'll happen. Yeah, if you're looking at DCs, one of my early DCs is pretty much my worst team, it looks like, out of all of them. So let's just click on that one and see what it is. It was a lot of injuries early, to say the least. A lot of underperformers like Willie Adames, J-Rod hasn't really lived up to the hype, but it's mainly been injuries because now I'm starting just some horrific players at this point in time. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Well, suspensions, 11, 12, 13. My bench has 13 people on the IL. So
that's made it
very difficult to make a serviceable situation there. I guess if I have to do a fab format, I would say my first OC or my last OC, where I tried to go with some YOLO picks. Yeah, it's not going so well. So maybe I should stick to what I've been doing all season and what's been working and researching. And like the James Wood YOLO pick's been great, but there's been a lot of others that have not panned out, to say the least, but it's primarily been the pitching's disaster. Cause like Tanner Bibee's been disappointing. Kikuchi's been horrible. Max Meyer's regressing. Rossell Iglesias has been bad. I had an early, the Ober scare got me there. J Mart's stunk. Pitching's cost me a lot in that one, where hitting was fine because I went aggressive hitting all draft season. But as the draft season went on, as we discussed, pitching gets trickier. I needed to adjust a little better.
Okay, so since you were counting your – and that makes sense. Yeah, it's hard to break old habits, like I said, with mine. I have 16 injured guys.
Yeah,
on this.
That'll do it.
So my outfield this week has Hunter Renfro, Mauricio Dubon, and Mark Canha. My utility is Andrew McCutchen, and I'm starting Chris Martin, Ryan Zephyrhan, and Lucas Ersig.
Dude, I've had Ersig in like 3 DCs for like the last 3 weeks, so I know the feeling. Like, I know the feeling very well. You have no other choice. I have Garrett Whitlock in one that's been locked in for about a month now.
Like, my bench has Luke Raley, CES, Tyro, Teoscar, Parker Meadows, rest in peace, Winker, Darvish, DJ Hirsch, Ryan Feltner, Logan Gilbert, Drew Thorpe, Justin Martinez.
There's
Justin
some really Steele. Good players on that list.
Yeah, it was a pretty good. I loved the draft when I first took draft to the team, but it hasn't gone into plan. So
that's the thing with DCs. Like, they're great to get going. You can, if you win a couple of DCs, the payouts kind of pay off a lot of other things really well. For like, there's a lot to like about the DCs, but just put a few injuries in the bag and call it a night type situation. I will say, just one other to do the flip side, I was actually thinking about it over the weekend and just laughing out loud. So that Vegas 250 that I was leading after Sunday, again, just to say as much as I can now because it won't last. It's ironic because my pitching's so good, because guess who my first pick was, Ben? I think I had the 10th pick in the draft.
Was it
I took Tarek Skubal. Took Skubal, yeah, with my first pick to be different, because it was a tough room, and we're drafting the weekend before the year, so a lot of the news, all that kind of stuff. So all the hitters I like were going early. I'm like, okay, well now it's like Tatis, Skubal, Skeens. I'm like, hey, let's get a Skubal share. See where it goes. That's been nice. Been pretty nice, to be honest. That helps a ton. Like, for a guy like me that can't draft ratios, he helps offset a lot of that. So that helps a ton.
He should be your number one target every time.
That's why I started chuckling over it. It's just the dumb fantasy brain doing stuff, going, man, maybe there's something these people are onto that I should just stop being so stubborn and hard headed about. And good, but then it's hard because I have other teams that are doing just fine. And just kind of, you know, just how the cookie crumbles at times.
It comes down to Ryan Gusto eventually.
Continue getting crushed. God damn. Yeah. Well, hopefully Gusto doesn't get the Hauk treatment, but he's getting hung out. He's got 6 runs through 3. This is awesome. We'll see where that one goes. But we'll wrap it up there, Ben, before I get really depressed watching this just go up in flames. Any final thoughts as we are entering the week 9 of the fantasy baseball season?
Let's just hope that it's not a full, like, the week's not a sign of what's to come based on tonight. I kind of butchered that, but hopefully tonight is not a sign of what's to come for the rest of the week. I'll say it. There it is. I got it right. Yeah, because with
Nailed it. We'll get that to production and edit it out later, I promise.
It's getting late here in New York, yeah. So
I don't do much editing at all here. Good.
It's gonna be in the podcast regardless, but it's whatever.
Yep, it's there for life. Make sure y'all follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. Obviously, a lot of great news coming out of that big brain. Follow me on Twitter at @BDentric, and we'll be back with you guys next week to recap week 9, Fab, and more. But for now, Major League Bubba episode 764 in the books. Catch you all next time.